Brotherly love that you have for all people, for those in prison. That's such a wonderful ministry for the homeless, and that you are active in God's ministry and God's world. I really give God thanks for you and praise Him that you continue to fulfill His ministry on earth, and that some of that reaches all the way across the Caribbean Sea and touches down into Utila and into Honduras. For this, we are truly thankful, and it's wonderful to be here this morning. Thank you, Pastor John, for giving me the opportunity to take your spot here for this Sunday. It is indeed a privilege always to share God's word with you. And when I said that my message this morning would come from Jeremiah 32, your pastor quickly remembered that this was the lectionary reading a few Sundays back. And I hope you have remembered too. And indeed, as I contemplated what message to share with you, a message that would be relevant about what's happening in our context, and at the same time, hoping that it would be inspiring for you, this message, this text, spoke to my heart because it inspired me and it affirmed and confirmed my faith. So this message became a message for me, as often it is for pastors. And so the text this morning is one from Jeremiah chapter 32, and it's printed in your bulletin. Jeremiah 32, 1 through 15. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of King Zedekiah of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and the prophet Jeremiah was confined in the court of the guard that was in the palace of the king of Judah, where King Zedekiah of Judah had confined him. Zedekiah had said, "Why do you prophesy and say, 'Thus says the Lord, I am going to give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it'? King Zedekiah of Judah shall not escape out of the hands of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be given into the hands of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face, and see him eye to eye, and he shall take Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall remain until I attend to him, says the Lord. Though you fight against the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed." Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Hanamel, son of your uncle Shallum, is going to come to you and say, buy my field that is at Anathoth, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours.' Then my cousin Hanamel came to me in the court of the guard in accordance with the word of the Lord and said to me, 'Buy my field that is at Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, For the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field at Anathoth from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out the money to him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed a deed, sealed it, got witnesses, and weighed the money on scales. Then I took the sealed deed of purchase containing the terms of conditions and the open copy, and I gave the deed of purchase to Barak, son of Neriah, son of Mashiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, in the presence of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase, and in the presence of all the Judeans who were sitting in the court of the guard. In their presence, I charged Barak, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar, in order that they may last for a long time. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, now we have worshiped you through songs and praise and the reading of your scripture. We have worshiped you in our prayers, and we come to this part of our worship service this morning for the proclamation of your word. We pray that as you have said, that your word would not return void, that that may be true for us this morning, and speaker and hearers alike may glorify you, be inspired by your word, and go forth to be your people day after day until the end of our life's journey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The message title comes from a portion of one of those verses that we read, and it simply says, "And I bought the field." And I bought the field. Now, buying land here in the United States, I assume, is no less cumbersome than buying field or land in Honduras. It is quite a process, right, for markers and so forth. But it's important for us to understand the context under which Jeremiah is going to buy this field. The context is that he himself is held in captivity in the palace prison. And why is he there? Because he's been prophesying and he's been saying to the people, repent. If you do not repent and turn back to God, then you will suffer. You will face destruction. The people, the king included, the priests, they all refused to hear his cry and his word. So Jeremiah is proclaiming this word nonstop, that if you do not repent, this and this will come to pass. In the middle of all of this, somebody, the voice of the Lord, comes to Jeremiah, and subsequently his cousin comes and says, "There is a field that I want to sell, and the field belongs to you as next of kin. You have the right to purchase this field." Now remember how I said Jeremiah was prophesying that if they didn't turn to the Lord, what would happen? And in effect, the Babylonians were right outside the city gate, ready to take over. Now, those of us who want to think logically will say, "Well, Jeremiah, this is stupid. This is silly. You are going to buy a piece of land right now when you are telling us that the Babylonians are coming to take us over. Why? Why?" Well, my friends, for me, this depicts an act of faith, great faith. Great faith. So I'd like us to unravel a little bit about this faith that Jeremiah has. First of all, it comes from a promise that God made at the very end, the last verse that we read in Jeremiah 32, where God says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land." It would take an act of faith for Jeremiah to really believe that. And so in the purchasing of this field, it would say that Jeremiah is expressing his faith in God, that he is expressing his faith in God. The reason why I said this scripture was a message to me and came from my own experience, again in the life of the ministry that takes place in Utila, is that from the Gainesville First United Methodist Church, we last year, last November, we got a message that said that they wanted to hear about what was happening because there was a possible grant that would come to the ministries in Utila. So along with the board members, we sat to write this letter. And of course, we put it in high order of priorities. The funds for teachers' salary, the need for scholarships, the need for all of these financial things. Before I sent that message, I was up at the school one morning reviewing with the board members what it was we said and if we were all in accordance. And this gentleman comes to me, Mr. Clifton Hill, and he says, the piece of land right over there is for my niece. She lives in Chicago. She's not coming back to Honduras to stay. Her children are not interested. So before we put it on the market, I want to inquire if the school is interested in buying the piece of land. So, you know what I said? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I'm going to tell you that we don't have a dollar towards buying this piece of land. So, in this letter to Gainesville First United, we mentioned all of these high priorities. And because this had come, the very last item we put contributions towards the purchase of a piece of land across from the school that has become available. A piece of land that we don't need today, but we will need tomorrow, because when we started the school in 2009, we had 37 students. Today we have 173. And every little piece of that land has a two-story building on it now. So soon, in the eyes of faith, we will need somewhere to expand, and this is right there. So I want to say that that church sent back $10,000 towards a down payment of that purchase of land. What did that do? That sealed the deal. It was specific for that down payment, and we would use it for that down payment. It took us about 7 months to get the paperwork, the land documents from someone in the United States there. However, we are on our way in the purchase of this piece of land. I say this, we have hopes and dreams, place for teachers to live, multi-purpose room, which we have a need of. But I want to say the expression of faith that that would take, because perhaps I'll be long time gone, but in faith, I see that the school has been seeded, planted, and continue to pray and work towards what possibilities and probabilities the school offers into the lives of so many of the children and the young people there. It requires great faith. I can tell you story after story, and you would remember that I shared with you about a young girl named Carrie. Carrie came to us. Her mom came to inquire if she could come to our school, but she was going through a marital problem. There would be no financial support. Carrie entered our school 5 years ago, and she is ready to graduate this year. She has no idea what her tomorrow holds, but she has the faith that she will be able to progress and advance as time comes. That's the story of Carrie, who is waiting and hoping and has put her faith in God, like we have done, with the anticipation of this continued growth in ministry at the school. It requires faith. But you know what happens after one makes a commitment of faith? Just like Jeremiah, what happened to him? He began to question if he did the right thing. He wondered, is this really logical? Is this sensible? What will the people say? Will they begin to say, well, maybe I don't believe my own words, because if I'm buying a field, perhaps I don't think that we're going away into captivity. That's my interpretation of Jeremiah's mind. But what we do know is that he began to have some fear and doubt about his act of faith. And I want you, my brothers and sisters, to know that anytime we step out in faith, we begin to analyze in detail, oh, what did I just do? I signed up to go to that prison to work with people in there who are dangerous, people who have done all these things. What did I just do? Am I really going to commit myself to this? Yes, you do. But you begin to question. That's normal. That will happen. But I want to encourage you today, as I have encouraged myself through the Spirit of the Almighty God, what to do when this rashness of faith is confronted with fear. What did Jeremiah do? He prayed. He went to God in prayer. And you know, we just traveled into Savannah. I went for the first time and loved going where Wesley, John, and Charles spent those 100+ days. And I was reminded of a theology of John's that said about means of grace, little things and some big things that help us to get closer to God, a means of grace. And there were some very important restrictive things like communion, which isn't so restrictive for us today, communion and baptism. But other means of grace were simple things like prayer and the importance of prayer. So I want to encourage you today in your life to not forget to pray and the power that there is for you and for me when we go to God in prayer. And that's what Jeremiah did. And his prayer becomes so beautiful because in the beginning he says, I love how he begins, "Ah, my Lord, ah, my Lord, it is you who made heaven and earth." What is he really saying there? He's recognizing, as our pastor said so many times in his prayer this morning, that this is God's creation, his world. He has made it all. He has made you and he has made me and all that exists therein. So Jeremiah is reminding himself through prayer that he serves a mighty God, a very relevant God. And he's remembering how great and vast the creative power of God is to him at this time. And then another part of his prayer, he goes on to say, "Nothing is too hard for you." That's a great realization for us. When hard times come, illness and disease and separation, and children who may not be following the path that we desire for them to follow, grandchildren who are in the hospital, all of these things come, decisions of health and life and death and ministries, to be reminded like Jeremiah, nothing is too great for you, O God. Marvelous words of adoration, a part of the initiation of his prayer. And then he goes on into another aspect, the redemptive power of God. He reminds God how God saved them from Egypt many, many centuries early. And he's reminding himself that God still has that power to redeem, that power to redeem even Israel, who was so hard-hearted, who was so wayward, who was so stubborn in their own way, who never saw the full need to be a repentant people. And Jeremiah goes through his prayer in all of these various ways. And so what I have learned from Jeremiah in the purchasing of a field in the name of the church, the Methodist Church of the Caribbean and the Americas, is that when we look back and see other things, we wonder decisions, how decisions come about. But I'm here to tell you that when we step out in faith and we remember that God is creator and that God continues to recreate, and we remember a God who is filled with love and compassion and reaches to us anywhere when we come to him. And that was Jeremiah's experience. He concludes his prayer by saying, "Yet you, O Lord God, have said to me, buy the field for the money and get witnesses." Getting witnesses. It was the way they did things. But you know, it was also a humbling experience for Jeremiah, because in the front of these witnesses, that would be more people to think of how silly and idle this was. However, Jeremiah follows God's command. It wasn't long after that exactly what Jeremiah prophesied came to have to pass, that Israel was taken away into exile, into Babylon. Many think for approximately 70 years. It was a dreadful time for them. But the word of the Lord and his promises remain steadfast. The Lord did respond, and in due time, the people returned to rebuild their nation and to rebuild their faith in this God, the God of their forefathers, the God of their ancestors, who would become their God. They continued to struggle just like you and I do in our everyday faith. But God is great, God is mighty, God is ever present with his creative power. We operate in faith every day. Every day of our lives, it requires that we have faith. And one of the forefathers of the church has said about that, faith the size of a mustard seed, a teeny, teeny seed. He says, when we have faith that size, which all of us have, God has granted that into all of our hearts and lives, that gives us access to heaven. But when we step out in faith, and that little tiny grain of faith becomes a little larger, what happens? It brings heaven down to us. It makes our walk, our Christian walk, a reality, a true walk of faith. The story is told of an English couple. Their last name was Murray, Reverend Robert and Mrs. Robert Murray from England. In the early 1800s, they traveled to Africa to serve as missionaries there. Eventually, they would become the in-laws to Dr. Livingstone, which I'm sure you know of. And so Mary and her husband Robert, serving as missionaries in Africa, were there for a decade when nothing happened. No converts, no penetration of the gospel into any life. However, one day they get a letter from a friend back in England, and the friend is saying, how can we help you in your ministry? And they decided that they would write back and ask for a communion set. But remember what I just said? There was no converts. But they asked for a communion set, expressing their faith that some way, somehow, someone would respond and be able to participate in this means of grace way across the Atlantic. The letter went, they heard no more about it, and in that span of time, people began to give their hearts and their lives to Christ, and slowly they began to come into fellowship with this minister and his wife in Africa. You know what happened? That communion set arrived the day before they were going to have the confirmation service and welcome the new believers into the faith of the church. What an expression of faith on behalf of this couple to write for something that right then in the present seemed like it would never be used. But they believed and they acted on their faith. My brothers and sisters, that's the life that we live every day, to believe that God is ever present with us, that God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us, and that we can hold fast to that faith that sometimes we have to work through, never clear, often like going through muddy waters. But we can go forth in prayer, in worship to our Almighty God, who is ever present and always makes a way for us in his bounty of love and grace and mercy. May the peace of our Lord be upon you, and may the field that Jeremiah bought, and I bought the field, may you go forth this day to buy a field, not physically, but symbolically, to invest in God's kingdom, and to know that he calls us to be faithful. You are a faithful people, and this moves my heart. And I give God thanks and praise for you and for the service you do in his matchless and wonderful name. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you bow your heads? There's a little chorus we sing home that goes like this. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy. He will hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. So, Father God, we reach out in faith, knowing that You know our needs, You hear our cry, knowing that You have it all in control. Continue to increase our faith and confirm our hope as we are pilgrims and we continue to journey on this road that leads to eternal life. In Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Yeah.